When does learning begin and how does learning take place? This is a question that everyone thinks they know the answer to, and of course they do, but few people apply it because few people have an interest in doing it. So think about it. I had a person say to me in a seminar recently, I don't like to say I'm independently wealthy. I like to say I'm rich. I have lots of money. I have lots of investments, and I have this and that and the other thing. And that's just fine. The trouble that we have when we go to school is that if we are alert enough as students or children to be aware that the teachers are teaching us, we feel that we want to be able to do it our way. We want to learn our way. We don't want to learn the way the teacher teaches. This just is some ingrained thing about us. It's something that says that's the way it is and that's the way we're going to do it. So we tell our teachers that they're no good. We tell our teachers they don't know how to teach. We tell our teachers that they're dumb. Basically, because what we're hearing from the teacher is, what is the answer? Tell me what the answer is. Tell me what you're supposed to know. And our response inside of ourselves is, why are you so stupid, teacher, that you don't know the answer, that you have to ask me the answer? Why are you so stupid? What's the matter with you that you don't know the answer to this? You should be on top of this, you know. Now, we know better. We know that that's not correct. But there's something inside of us that says this and that wants to demand this information from them. Well, that's normal teaching, normal learning. And normal learning is what takes place everywhere. But consider this type of learning. You have a genius within you. And so different friends or teachers encourage you to develop that genius and learn and become more brilliant. And you recognize that you have that genius. You recognize that it's there. It's not something that you don't know is there. And so then you give all of your effort to what the teacher tells you. You go home and you sincerely work on everything the teacher has suggested, and you work on more. The teacher says, just on the side, oh, and there are books in the library that cover this, and the books are listed under these codings, and if you will go into these books, you'll have even more information, and it'll even be more exciting, if you like it, you know. And so the diligent student, the one who really is excited, he goes to the library and he gets those books and he reads them. He studies them very carefully. And if he has any questions, he asks his teacher about it. The teacher says, well, now, why are you questioning that? Why do you think that's interesting? And then you have to come up with some sort of an answer as to why you think it's interesting, because you want to get the teacher's support. And in the process, you come up with your own answers. Now, all of us have had a great deal of delight as we read about Merlin the Magician, we read about Mandrake, we read about the shaman who work in the various Indian tribes and early Polynesian tribes. And around the world, the word shaman means wizard teacher, very special teacher. Now, we find that exciting. The shaman can do all sorts of magical things, some silly magic, you know, like throwing a powder in the fire and making the fire go poof, you know. But That's not as silly as we think. We think it's silly. And the shaman intend us to think it is silly. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
The shaman intend us to think that it's silly so that we will not pursue a half-baked interest in their teaching. You see? And many of the rather exotic teachers of the world of science and industry and business and writing and art and so forth are all the same way. They're all the same way. They don't encourage other people to be artists. They don't encourage other people to be sculptors. If you don't have a great, 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 great drive within yourself to be that, they don't encourage you because they don't want to spend their time encouraging you to do something that you can do. If you want to encourage yourself, well, then they're with you. They support you all the way. They will take you as their you'll be their, they'll be your champion, you know, as you are learning the field. Now, why in the Indian tribes, why in the history of shamanism are there so few shaman students, so few shaman adherents who would like to learn about the industry, the genius, the wonder of shamanism, the wonder of magic, the wonder of these things? We see Mickey Mouse as the apprentice, the magician's apprentice, and we see him doing silly things that he shouldn't be doing. That's no joke. That's no joke. That's real. He read out of the book things he didn't understand, and he did things, and they worked. And this is true. And this is why shaman, magicians, great wizard teachers, if you will, discourage students from being students. If they can chase a student away, they will do it. If they can chase anyone away from their art, they will do it with all their enthusiasm and, you might say, meanness. Because if you do not have as your driving impulse the desire to learn what the shaman has to tell you, you are a very poor student. Now, I have experienced a lot of poor students in my life, too. People who come and they say they want to walk the spiritual path. They want to know how to manifest beautiful things in their life. They want to be able to teleport and do all of these interesting things. They want to be able to do that. And joke, joke, joke. Joke, joke, joke. Joke, joke, joke. What is the first requirement of anyone to do anything? To like themselves. The first requirement for anyone to work in any field, whether it's art or homemaking or husbanding or magicianing or education, knowledge, whatever it may be, they have to like themselves first. If they like themselves, if they think they have the capacity to know those things, then they will pursue it. Well, the normal way in school is teach me, show me, teach me, show me. And you see, this is not the way to learn. The way to learn is, well now, what is it you want me to show you? How do you think I can show you? Where do you think that comes from? How would you progress on this? Now, if you didn't have anyone to show you, what would you do to accomplish this? How would you go forth doing it, you see? And so the shaman are great philosophers and psychologists, and they work with people, encouraging them to listen to that inner voice, listen to that inner knowledge, which is where it all is. I mean, Jesus is a great philosopher and psychologist and teacher. He says, go within, go within. He says, nothing on the outer is going to excite you very long. You know, it's only when you go within and you find that inner awareness, that's going to excite you forever. Now, is this what you want? And you say, well, Jesus and Merlin the magician, you put them both in the same type. That's right. That's right, exactly. Black magic, white magic, you know, these things are exciting. Oh, my goodness sakes, you know, Samantha, you know, and twitching her nose and stuff like that, you know. My goodness, how unusual, how, yes, everything is unusual. We have not even begun to understand the magic of learning and the magic of knowledge. Every day we're revealing new techniques to use simple things and tiny things, little chips. Who would ever have thought of taking a little tiny chip, no bigger than your fingernail, and putting on that chip the entire history of the United States? You know? I mean, it's unreasonable, it's unreal, it's crazy. Well, that's only the beginning. That's only the beginning. Then we say, well, we'll take a chip and put it in our head, you know, and that'll tell us all these things. Well, we are the ones who've taken from our head and put it on the chip. And now what we want to do is to reveal that inner awareness and the ability to touch that inner awareness by going within, by having a clear channel to this universal mind that is in us and around us and through us. But no, we want to always do it a different way. The fundamental rules will always be the same. The fundamental rules will always say to us how we should think and how we should live. So when this person came to me and they said, oh, they don't want to say I'm independently wealthy. They want to say I've got lots of money, and they want to say something they can understand. Well, here's an illustration for you. The child is told to say 2 times 2 is 4. It doesn't mean a thing. But when the child says, okay, 2 times 2 is 4, he doesn't understand it. You don't understand it. You're using it in your mathematics, you're using it in your accounting, you're using it in everything, but you don't understand it. And 2 times 3 is 6, and all the other numbers, and addition, subtraction, multiplication, division, and all the other manners in which numbers are handled. You don't even understand that in the slightest, because there's no understanding to do. What there is making it yours. Making it yours inside of you, knowing that you already know all those things. You already know how to put them together. You already know how to assemble them into a useful form, into a beneficial program like accounting or building buildings or, you know, going to the moon. Just think once. Just think in the finiteness of our mind. We can send a little speck here on Earth to a little speck out there on the moon, tell it to land on the moon, you know, zero it in there, and talk to it while it's there, you know, have messages going back and forth, and have a life support for the people who are used to living in Earth's condition in that moon atmosphere or other planet atmospheres. And how strange, how unbelievable. How magical. And then we take a satellite and we send it out, and then it goes zipping around the planets and then sending back messages. And then all of a sudden the battery is rejuvenated. How did the battery get rejuvenated out there? But the battery gets rejuvenated after being out there for 10 years and starts sending back messages again. You know? What magic is going on there? What wonder is going on? Well, this is not a talk to get you to be enthused about the magic and the mystery of life and what goes on in the world. This talk is meant to maybe open your eyes a little bit to the idea that there are techniques that work. And these techniques are given to you from time to time. And instead of following the techniques, you want to chop down the teacher. You want to chop down the technique. You want to chop down the institution. You want to say, oh, no, surely they can't teach these things. You want to read the things of Harry Potter, and you want to say to yourself, that's good, that's bad, that's right, that's wrong. Harry Potter is so exciting to so many people around the world at the present moment because it is something unusual. It's the wizard. It's the possibility of doing these silly things. Certainly in the wizard school, they didn't really do too much. But now, the newspaper was kind of interesting, where you open up the newspaper and here the people are on the front page of the newspaper communicating with you. The photographs talk to you, and they look at you, and you can look at them, and they leave the photograph to go to the bathroom, and then they come back, you know. It's fantastic. And then owls carrying messages and going wherever they have to go and dropping them at the person that's supposed to have the message. I mean, what a creative mind has come up with this story. And the creative mind also had several beautiful symbols in there that I will bring to your attention right now. And these symbols are what are necessary to keep the majority of the people from being wizards. And I will give you one, basically. Disobeying the rules of their school. Disobeying the rules of their teacher. That one symbol. That will keep the majority, if not all of them, from ever entering into a wizard school. Because do you think the wizards, who are the teachers, don't know what they're doing? Do you think that they're not presenting these rules for a very definite reason? Just stop a second and think of here on campus. Here on campus, we have 13 basic rules. If you open it, close it, and things like that. Simple, stupid, simple little things. And you violate them. You violate them every day by the dozen. By the dozen. You violate those rules. And those are the simplest, simplest rules that any little child, if you will, and certainly children don't have that much trouble, but that any little child would be able to follow. But no, you think you're better than the rules. You want to be in the school. You want to walk the spiritual path. You want to be a spiritual master. You want to take responsibility, but you don't even take responsibility for the little rules that we give you. We give you a lot of bigger rules too, but I expect you, I don't expect you, I see you ignoring them, so I don't pursue it. But I do pursue the little rules, because once you can say 2 times 2 is 4, 2 times 2 is 4, you have the whole mathematical system available to you. Once you can, if you open it, close it, the simple 13 rules, if once you can make those 13 rules your memory pattern and do it with all your heart and soul and being, I mean, it's just natural for you. Then you can take your wizard wand and snap it and say, blah, 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 and have things happen. But until you discipline your own minds, your own being, your own physical body, which says, I know better than that. I know when I'm hungry. I know when I'm needing something to drink. I know when I... But you don't. You don't. Your stomach tells you 20 minutes after you finished eating that you should have stopped 20 minutes before, you know? Because your body is Johnny-come-lately in giving you responses to what's going on in the world. You touch a hot thing, whoops! You should know that thing is hot before you even get that close to it, because your body has a sensitivity that knows these things. And besides which, why do you create yourself doing such a silly thing, you know, as to take this temple that you live in and burn it, you know, and misuse it, and certainly put things into it that are not harmonious with it? Well, anyhow, thoughts as well as other things. There's a reason, maintaining our theme here, I am independently wealthy. Why do we make a statement, I'm independently wealthy? We make the statement, I'm independently wealthy, for the simple reason that we are wealthy regardless of any outer means. I mean, it doesn't matter. We're independently wealthy. We're not wealthy because of our job. We're not wealthy because of our inheritance. We're not wealthy because of money that comes in. We are just independently wealthy. We are the source of the wealth. Our mind is the source of the wealth. Our attitude is the source of the wealth. Our actions are the source of the wealth. Everything. And we don't have to have it coming from any place else. But now, you're too wise to know that. You're too wise to know that. You know better. You say, well, I just feel more comfortable saying my bank account is full, you know, and I can write a check for anything I want, you know, my bank account. And I my uncle so forth died or this or that, you know, left me a lot of money, you know, and I've got this and I've got that. Oh, what silliness. What silliness. When the Queen of England decided to pay taxes, I thought, here, England's going to tumble. The monetary system of England's going to tumble because the Queen can't pay taxes because the Queen is to whom the taxes are paid. You know? It is so irrational and idiotic that it just begs the mind to laugh, but they don't. Oh, isn't that wonderful? The Queen is paying taxes. Well, my God. You're giving her the money to pay the taxes with. Yeah, good for you. Hey, let her be rich. When she's rich, you're rich in consciousness. You like a queen to look up to. You like a queen to enjoy her in her royal garb. My God, you'd never wear that stuff yourself, you know. You wouldn't be seen dead in it. You wouldn't be seen alive in it very long, that's for sure, because it's just too much of a bother. But you like it. The queen is a symbol for you. You like to see successful people, because at least some people are successful. You like to see happy people, because at least some people are happy and so on. You see, it's so silly. It's so irrational that we do these things to ourselves, but only because we don't learn. We will not go to school. We will not pay attention to our teachers. We don't need the teachers, but we've created them to sort of guide us along the way. It's nice to have a Merlin, a magician. It's nice to have be an apprentice to something. So, I am not an apprentice. I am a magician. I am not an apprentice. I will not be. You see, we push ourselves right out of the battle. Now, it's true. You are not an apprentice. You really are the magician, but you don't know it yet. And so if you will go to your training school and be trained by the magician or by the wizard or by the mathematician or by the musician, it doesn't matter. But give your 100% awareness to whatever field it is you think you'd like to know. And when you do that, the door is open for you. You know that. You've seen it happen in little things in your life and big things too. Gertrude is a perfect example. Gertrude was one of the snottiest ladies that you could ever want. I will not learn English. I will not drive a car. I will not learn a computer. Silly lady, you know? And the moment she stopped objecting, click, she's showed her absolute genius as a computer girl, as a speaking English, as driving a car, and she is quality with the word go. But she didn't want to put on the robes of the queen, because I don't want to wear those silly things. I don't want to wear those silly things. Well, now she is it. Now she is a wonderful computer person. Now she is a wonderful driver. Now she speaks good English. You see, and she writes, and she does. But you see, she was a perfect example of how we all are. She had done many things in her life and had been reasonably successful, but she was never happy. And now that she started to like herself, she started to be herself and be happy. Before, she couldn't drive, she couldn't do this, she couldn't do that, because she felt inferior. Now she is the super lady she always was. But see, that's what we are. We haven't woke up to our Gertrude ability yet. One day we will. One day we will. But you see, if we keep saying, I will not do what the teacher says, then we should be our own teacher. And then we won't do what our own teacher says to us, and what we say to ourselves. And now, can you meditate? Can you listen to the divine within you? Can you introspect? Can you listen to God speaking to you, in you, as you? Can you know anything that you wish to know at any moment you wish to know it? Certainly you can. What would happen if you were out in the wilderness living by yourself and you had never been a wilderness person and you just left out there and you say, well, I guess I'm going to die. Well, then die. Or you say, others have lived out in these circumstances and found something to eat. I'm going to find something to eat. Now, these berries look interesting. Let's see if there's any droppings around here. No droppings around here. I'm not going to eat those berries. I'm going to eat berries where there's droppings around, where other animals have eaten them, you know. And I can tell that those are acceptable berries. And let's see this water. Now, dogs can drink this, but I don't have that capacity because I don't have the immunity built into me that dogs have in them. But now, this fresh running water in the stream here, perhaps I can handle that, you know. And you see, you begin to use your intelligence. And if you wish, you could just sit and meditate and say, the divine mana of the universe is mine. I do not need any, you don't say, I don't need any water, I don't need any food. You say, I am, my thirst is quenched, my hunger is fulfilled, you know, and it's done. Now, would a wizard do that, or would a wizard go looking for berries? Mm-hmm. Think about it. What game do you want to play? You want to be the wizard looking for berries, or the wizard having dinner? You want to be the Emil who is putting on a show, or the Emil who is living it? Now, Emil puts on the show for the friends who come visiting him, you know. But when his friends are not around, do you think Emil is bothered by eating? do you think that eating is so exciting to him, he's got to go and find something to eat? You think breathing is so exciting to him, he's got to find something to breathe and drink and stuff? No way. Now, we have these books which are fiction books. Fiction books. But are they really fiction? Anything the mind can
conceive
and believe, it can achieve. Now, why do we have that statement if it's not true? We should say, poof, 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 you know, that statement is silly. But it's not silly, it's real. Now, each of you are here in kindergarten. You say, my God, why have we stayed here these 15 years, these 20 years, these 100 years? Why have we stayed here? Well, because one day you might wake up and you might say, oh, I never learned the simple basic rules. And they were there right in front of me all the time. And I never learned the simple little 13 rules, the house rules. And I never learned to do what Herb has said again and again and again. Be yourself and have fun. I'm always trying to do it for other people. I'm living up to what other people expect of me. I'm living up to the fact that the neighbors want me to do this. I'm living up to the government wants me to do this. The people want me to do this. The world wants me to do this. I'm going out and sharing this philosophy and stuff because that they need this. Well, wake up. Our friend in Africa Emmanuel. He's a perfect illustration of our foolishness. We have done everything and spent money on him to make it possible for him to come here and study. He doesn't want to come here and study. If he wanted to come here and study, we wouldn't have to do a thing for him. He would be here. If anybody wants to come here and learn in this wizard school, and this is a wizard school, if they want to come here and learn in this wizard school, they'll come. But even those who come don't learn because they know better. You know, and that's okay. That's okay. Been there, done that. I've sat through a lot of these sessions. But do you want to waste the time? And that's not a matter of wasting time because time is immaterial. But is this the little game you want to play at this moment of pretending that you're following the rules while you're not, of pretending that this is not a wizard school, that this is not a school for geniuses, this is not a school for the top of the mark? And what's another thing I say very powerfully to you year after year after year? This is your final step. Not your final step in the destination of death, but your final step in the destination of life, where you become aware that you live eternally, and you become aware that this is who you are. Now you can pick on me all you want, and you do that very wonderfully. And you can pay no attention to the things that I say to you day after day after day, which is okay too. You can pretend that you're here in this abundant school where you have all the food you want to eat and you don't respect the food. You have all the air you want to breathe here on the top of this mountain, the purest air you could ever want, and the most beautiful water brought up from the ground, purified by many aquafilters that it goes through, and you don't appreciate it. You want to go and change the environment here. The environment is one of a very primitive, barren environment, and you want to make it into a lowland environment where there's lots of water, instead of living with it in its naturalness here, living in its beauty by itself, and appreciating each natural flora and fauna that are here. But no, you've got to make it over in your image. And what a silly image that is. And you don't have the capacity to maintain it in that image, because you keep running out of water, you keep running out of things to make it happen. And that's a game. That's okay. But one day, instead of running around like a chicken with your head cut off, you come to terms with yourself. And you say, I have one responsibility, and that's to be myself and have fun. And if anything I do is not being myself and having fun, training as a shaman, training as a wizard, training as my divine self, or anything else, if it's not having fun, being myself, I really should quit. I really should go somewhere else. Because wherever I am, I should be being myself and having fun. You say, look at all the people who've come to the monastery and who've left and who've come and who've left. That's fine. Look at all the people who've gone to elementary school and high school and college and left and done nothing with what they learned there. There are not many leaders in the world. There are very few leaders who went to these schools and who didn't need to, but who went to these schools and benefited by it and blessed it. and who said, hey, you can do that too. But the people don't do that. The people don't do that. Even many of the teachers in our everyday school don't realize that they are the ones who are supposed to ignite the spark, not ignite the spark, but to ignite the possibility in everybody of being their magical self. Now, I say just one more thing. Are you ready for this type of thing? And don't shake your head yes or no. But are you ready for what I've been talking about this morning? Or are you going to have another 10 or 15 years of fighting the teacher, fighting the school, fighting the system, rewriting the program, saying that everything is wrong, saying that what the people think in the world is right and what we think here is wrong, if that's what you want to do? Or are you ready just to turn over a new leaf and say, I am that I am that I am. I know now how to be myself and have fun. Are you ready for that? And I know you'd like it. I know just on the surface of it, it sounds like fun. But it has a tendency to take away all of the stuff that you've really had fun with. Words like, I haven't got a clue, I don't know, I don't understand. You see, those are all the human stuff, which are excuses for not doing what we can. Now, if you're ready to really move into this, you're going to stop chasing after the sex. And I encourage you to chase after the sex all you can. You're going to stop chasing after all the outer, and you're going to start training yourself on a crash course, 100% going within and finding who you are and being it and enjoying it. So, that's a point of decision you might make for yourself today. The saucer who has the apprentice teaches the apprentice what he's ready to understand. And sometimes the apprentice gets a hold of dynamite. He gets a hold of fire. He gets a hold of water. He gets a hold of all sorts of things he doesn't understand. And he hurts himself and his world. But it was not the sorcerer's purpose of it. It was not the wizard's purpose of it. These things always happen when we don't learn what it's all about. And what it's all about is to be ourselves and have fun. So, think about these things. If they interest you, if it's something you really want to pursue, let me know by your actions, by your attitudes, by your following the house rules and these other things, that that's really important to you. And perhaps we can move along. But I'm here for that purpose if you wish me. And I love you. And I always will, regardless of whether you have the desire to follow what you say you want to do or not. I love you. I love you.